Well, we knew this was all coming, and we're the ones left. Gene wanted to see Jesus. He didn't mince words either. It was crystal clear that he was in the hands of his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're left here. I'm not sure what to say about that. Reverend Ray, God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning. We're going to spend a little time with our memories of Jesus, of Gene. Not to be confused with you. That I can't tell you how Monday felt. I mean, all of us in this room felt like that was a testimony to his life, and your leadership was great. Can you start us off with a prayer, please?
Just bow our heads, gentlemen. Gracious God Almighty, Heavenly Father, we do acknowledge this morning that you are gracious. We acknowledge, Heavenly Father, you are the one and only living and true God. And we acknowledge, Heavenly Father, that you are inexpressibly glorious in your holiness, and you're worthy, dear Father, of all of our love and our confidence and our praise, our trust. You're worthy, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, dear God, that you have allowed us to come into a relationship with you, that you, Heavenly Father, in your grace have bestowed righteousness upon us when we didn't deserve it and don't deserve it. And as a result of all of these wonderful blessings, dear Father, you allow us to come into contact with others, dear God, who are under the sway of your righteousness and your love and your grace and your mercy. Uh-huh. And dear Father, we recognize today that we have the privilege of knowing one who we affectionately call Gene. Amen. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing our paths to cross. We thank you, dear God, for you wiring Gene to be Gene, dear God.
That's right. Amen.
He was a loving man.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Kind man and a gracious man and a sympathizing man. From a pastor's perspective, Gene just didn't know how to say no.
Hallelujah.
And we appreciate that, Father. We're so grateful for this servant whom we love and cherish. And we're grateful, Heavenly Father, that you made yourself known through his life. So as we reflect on Brother Gene and all the other soldiers, dear Father, who have fallen on this battlefield,
hallelujah,
all we can say is thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about crossing paths with Gene. That's not an accident. God put him in our lives, and we are blessed for it. So let's do this. I'm not going to do mic management this morning. So once you're done, you pass it to the next man, and I'll sit up there and make sure you guys don't get unruly with this. Who wants to start us off? Don't be shy. All right, Eric, thank you. God bless you.
Yeah, I didn't know Gene as long as you guys did, but Gene was just always a bright, generally merry, happy person who always seemed to build me up, and I didn't feel... He made me feel special, but I didn't feel singled out. I think that he did that with everybody. He was a man, as Reverend Ray said. He was just a man, but he was faithful. He was wonderful. He knew all the songs in Motown that I did.
Amen.
And
hallelujah.
And that was wonderful for me. And I love him. And And I'm also very, very happy for him because he's happier than we are. He's doing great. He's in heaven. He's enjoying God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, feel bad for us, happy for him, and sorry for his family.
Yeah, thank you. Praise the Lord. He loved the hymnal. The older the song, the happier he was to sing it. Thank you, Ed.
Well, I knew Gene for quite a while, but not as close as I'd like to.
Yeah.
We had some lunches together and some dinners together. We had his family over. And I always really liked his choice of women. Andrea is just a super gal. So.
Oh, yeah.
He did well in that arena. And I did notice that he loved his family.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I could do as well to love my family like he loved his family. I thought Gene was a thoughtful person. I thought he was an understanding person. Mainly he laughed at my jokes, and it didn't cost me very much. I
mean, oh, God bless him.
He inspired me to try to do better. I think a song can be, people see Jesus in you fit Gene very well.
Yeah. Amen.
And so in conclusion, I thought he was a pretty darn good brother.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the
Lord.
Morning,
Don.
Yeah.
So I got a story about Gene, because I know a lot of guys talked about the basketball and all that kind of stuff. So Gene was a good friend of mine. And
Amen.
Prior to him having the episode at the rec center playing basketball, he asked me to come over and play with him one of the times. And I was still driving, and I was probably, I don't know, 60, maybe 5 years ago or so. I don't know when the episode at the rec center was. But I have to preference this by saying first that my two sons played basketball at Longmont High School, and Gene would come watch, and the younger son was probably the better of the two, because that year he took Longmont to the semifinals, and they lost in the semifinals for the championship for state. But anyway, so we're at the rec center playing basketball, and the story of his brother kind of cracked me up too, you know, because he says, "Oh, come over, man. It's just a bunch of old guys shooting basketball, running up and down the court, getting some exercise and stuff." So I said, okay, I can do that, you know what I mean? And I get over there, and we're playing, you know, we're playing several games, and I go to set a pick for somebody coming, and the guy went, bam! I was like, whoa, these dudes are serious, you know? I was like, whoa, you know? And it was rough the whole game, so I said, okay, it's like that, huh? I'm going to go get my boys.
Nice. You know?
So I said, Gene, I'm coming back. And I brought my two sons, you know what I mean? And, of course, Gene liked that because they were playing. But, yeah, that was, you know, when they talk about him playing basketball, man, they were some rough dudes.
That's awesome.
They weren't. Gene was definitely probably the better player on the court, you know. But yeah, that story stuck with me because I was like, those dudes are rough. I thought I was going to just play and have fun, and
he wasn't very competitive.
Are you kidding me?
Praise God.
But yeah, so I had to bring my boys back. You
nice.
Know,
talked brought about back my, reinforcements.
Yeah, I brought my sons and said, yeah, now let's play. But I mean, they enjoyed
That's
it.
Funny.
They enjoyed playing with
Hallelujah.
Them.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God bless you, Don. Thank you for being a loyal servant, Don. We love you.
My favorite time with Gene was after Friday's morning when you guys were all gone. And we just sit and just talk left and right. And Wayne and both of us, yeah, we had some great conversations. I mean, it was really, really cherishing those moments. But Gene, when we had projects and little things here and there, man, his hands were always in it.
Oh, yeah.
He was always willing to learn, and he just had a grateful heart. And when I heard of his passing, I don't know why I felt so comfortable.
Nice.
It felt so good.
Amen.
That I know where he's at.
Hallelujah.
And all the stuff, and then coming here and watching all the love that was spread, that he spread out. We went to lunch a few times. And everywhere we went, someone would come up there and known him, you know. And he had time. He made time. Gene was a guy that would make time. If you needed him,
Amen.
He made time. So I'm going to miss him a lot. But I'm glad where he's at.
Amen.
Because I'll be seeing him again.
Thank you, Rocky. Right. Praise God. Thank you, Ron. Amen. God bless you, Carrie.
You know, I've only known Gene about 2.5 years, which is the time I've been coming to the Friday morning Bible studies here.
Amen.
So I don't know him well, but a little bit like Rock, I feel like I really got to know him some after the study in having some of the conversations with him. And, you know, just the thing that struck me about Gene right off the bat was, my initial thought was, wow, this man is really a holy man. I mean, this is a man who really loves God. You can see the impact of, you can see the way that he's close to God just by the way he would talk, and I felt blessed every time I talked with him, honestly, because I felt like he helped bring me closer to God. The one connection we had a little bit, and it wasn't a real connection, but he loved talking about working at the bank in his early days, and at Commerce Bank in Kansas City. And I never really heard, you know, why he ended up leaving there and moving to Boulder, to IBM. I suppose a better opportunity. But I spent 36 years with the Treasury Department in bank supervision, and was an examiner back in those years. And I was part of exams at Commerce Bank a couple of times. And I don't think we were there at the same time, but we chatted and joked about that a little bit back in the day. I just appreciated being around him. I mean, even though I didn't really get to spend a whole lot of time with him, I felt like, you know, his presence with God kind of rubbed off on other people. So I guess the last thing I would say would be, you know, I looked at Gene and dealing with his heart condition for I don't know how many years, I mean, a long, long time, he struggled with his heart declining. And, you know, you wouldn't know it from talking with Gene that he basically kind of had a terminal condition that mm-hmm. was going to cut his life shorter than we wish it would be. But what a great example in so many ways. So
Amen.
Just feel blessed to know him for a short period of time.
Hallelujah. God bless you, Carrie. Thank you.
Yeah, Carrie, I would just second, you know, everything that you said. You know, yeah, Gene was just an incredible guy. He just made you feel better just being around him. And I do remember when he was, diagnosed with the heart thing, and he said that he was told that he'd be a candidate, you know, for the transplant, and he wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to have someone else's heart beating inside of him. But he. And he was comfortable with that. You know, he knew where he was going.
Oh yeah.
That was huge. Several years this church had a problem with water down there in the basement, and being the old retired builder here. Well, of course at that time, I don't know if I was retired then or not. But anyway, you know, Gina had quite a number of conversations about that, and eventually it got resolved. But anyway, I had shared with you guys last week. I think it was just last week that I'd called Gene, and he just got out of the hospital. He called me back and said, "Yeah, I'm feeling fine." Well, I could tell he was not feeling fine. You know, I mean, but if you ever talk to Gene, he was always feeling fine. You know, there was not a problem there. He was in good shape. But I knew he wasn't. And of course, then we got two emails. The one that he might not make it through the weekend.
And wow, when I got that one, that kind of really hit me. And of course, I'm praying, Lord, boy, we would like to keep Gene around a little longer, you know.
That's right.
But I knew Gene really didn't want that. You know, Gene wanted to be at home with his Lord. And so then, of course, in the next day, we get the email that he passed. And that one, you know, I just had to rejoice. Because I thought, Gene, right now, hey, he is rejoicing. He's with Daryl Baugh and Jerry Gibson and, Will Rutledge. I mean, he's really, really rejoicing. The only thing was, I mean, I guess I was a little put off. I mean, you know, he beat me there. You know, I guess that would be the only problem. But I tell you, Gene Brown, just what an incredible guy, and what a privilege it was to know him.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. God bless you. You are a loyal servant, Mr. Duke.
You think those guys got a men's group up there? Meet on Fridays?
And Daryl's telling them all to.
Anybody over here?
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Gene and his wife laughed at all my jokes, which was really good. I was born in Kansas City, Missouri, and so we immediately linked up. We're the same age. I think I'm about 6 months older and all. And I, too, Rock, was comfortable when we found out that he passed away.
Hallelujah.
I used to call him Mahomes because he's a big Kansas City fan. And then after I found out about his heart and all, I started calling him the Tin Man because, you know, when he goes to Oz, he gets a new heart. One of the fun ones for me is, you know, he and Carl, when Mick took off on us, they were fiddling with the sound system over there. And I went over there and says, hey, you guys ought to come out of the closet. And they both enjoyed that.
R-R-R. That's good.
Then the other one, I was just checking my phone. I sent him a picture. Remember, he was going to get another battery in his heart.
Yeah.
So I found this little Energizer battery and brought it to him, he and his wife there. And he said, no, it's too big. And it wasn't a little bit later, he comes back and says, you know what, we've talked about it, and that could save us a lot of money, so let's go ahead and do that.
Funny.
And then I hope he got my last email. I said, strap on your Chuck Taylors, because we're going one-on-one when I join you.
Amen. Thank you, Stephen. God bless.
Hey, when you guys are using the mic, can you put it right up to your lips?
Yeah,
because
thank you.
Because if you hold it 3 or 4 inches away, it's really hard to hear.
Yeah. So toward the end, guys, and I know you guys all heard this, what was really impressive to me is that toward the end, when he was here those last few weeks, and he would always give us the update on how he was doing, it was always confident. What really impressed me of where he was going, you know? And I remember one time him and Tony, you know, how they talked about they were at peace and they were confident. And so he always struck me as very confident, knowing where he was going, and he was always ready to go. And I know it's always hard as men, you know, to talk about, you know, our doctor's reports and what they tell us is bad and all that, but it was real impressive that he was open with all that and let us all know. And to me, that was really, really impressive.
Yeah, I have a lot of memories of Gene, really good memories. And, you know, I think of Gene as this gentle, kind person. So I was really surprised when you said he was so aggressive on the basketball court. But Gene and I had a few really good times where we could really discuss deep stuff, especially our failings. And he was very open about his failings, his sins. And so we could encourage one another. And that was, I think, a bond that we had I know that after his heart attack, you know, he thought a lot about going to be with the Lord. And I think, well, I know I do also. And I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't have anything wrong with me right now. But that could change in an instant. You know, I remember when I first started getting to know Gene, we were going to meet for breakfast in Lafayette. And so we arranged a day and a time. And so I showed up and I'm sitting there waiting and thinking, yeah, oh yeah, he's probably running a little late. Finally, I called him and he totally forgot about it. And he felt so bad. He felt so bad about that. And, you know, it really wasn't a big deal, but I was waiting for him in that restaurant. You know, and I feel like now the tables have turned. He's waiting for me up in heaven. And I don't know how late I'm going to be, but I'm going to see him, that's for sure. One of the things that I really just tickled me about Gene was his laugh. He would scrunch up, you know, like he's holding it back. And that just really, I just really liked his laugh. There's so many good things about Gene. I don't know very many people that I would put in his category. He's just a high quality guy.
Hallelujah. Let's hear from our two-dimensional friends. Anybody on the Zoom want to share with us?
Can you hear me?
We can.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. Yeah, God bless you.
The viewing on Monday was humbling. Jane was a good man, and for years ago, you know, I brought my son to the men's group, yeah. And about 25 years ago, I brought my daughter to the men's group. You know, she can have her own little name tag, but Julie, you know, but Jane would always ask about my children. And I always loved him for that, because he cared.
That's awesome.
And, you know, you got to look over at that wall that has that big old circle in it, you know, there's a shade there.
Yeah.
I got my company to donate with that shade to cover up that window, because all that sunlight would come in the morning. It was horrible. And he told me every time he saw that shade, he thought of me.
Amen.
And like I said, it was just it was great to have known him.
Amen.
And I will see him again.
Praise God.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. God bless you. You know, it's interesting to think about Gene being in a different category, Doc. That is so,
so true. You know, our son Alex came here for 4 years during high school. And remember the first time he heard Hansford speak, he wasn't sure what to make of that. He grew up in up at Calvary, and Tom's style was a little different than Hansford's. And I remember Gene walking up to him, saying something to the effect, "What'd you think about that?" Well, he always asked about Alex, and you ask about Alex, and then he'd say, "What about Allison?" And he wanted to know about our daughter. He and Andrea came to their graduation on McKinley Drive. Steve, you were there, and Rock, you were there, and Bob, you were there, and he wanted to make sure he kept tabs on the kids. So I struggled. We went to breakfast right after Thanksgiving, and I was one of those folks that said, why can't you deal with this medically? You know, we need you in the game. And boy, after that breakfast, it became clear to me that his plan was in, not just in writing, but in stone. And that's when I get this idea that he's in such a different category. About 3 weeks ago, I mentioned 1 John chapter 4. It's, as you know, it's my favorite verse. I'd like to read it one more time. It's all I've been thinking about this last couple of weeks. So there's some things about that verse that I feel like it was written for Gene, or by for Gene. So this is 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And remember, that word punishment can be, the word torment can be substituted for punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And the word perfect, of course, we can substitute complete. And I think about Gene was not tormented. He was not incomplete. He was about as complete as I've ever known a man. And I've referenced this verse for 40 years. And for some reason, when I look at it, you see a picture of Gene. Hallelujah. Praise God. He was put into our lives. Hallelujah. Yeah, please, Rick.
Well, I didn't get to know Gene very long, since I'm a newbie here. I've only been here for about 6-8 months or whatever it is, but first day I met him, I could just feel that, you know, he was a genuine lover of God. And I appreciate hearing the stories of the people that have known him, you know, so.
Hallelujah.
It's, he is a blessing. He's in a better place, and we all look forward to seeing him when we go. So.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. God bless you. I do note that Rick
came and stayed. We appreciate that, Rick. We've got some folks that visit, and then we never see them again. So as our ranks cycle through, let's find somebody to bring and somebody to stay. So we appreciate that. God bless you. Thank you and Mary for being there on Monday. That was a treat.
I had many good memories of Gene. I met him on the Friday morning group when we moved from the golf course over, and somebody used to work in the kitchen, and unfortunately, like in our group, they passed away, and I saw the need to have another kitchen helper, and so I stood up and prayed that God would send somebody to help in the kitchen. Well, what I didn't figure out was my prayer ended up being me. It took Gene and Hansford a very long time to trust me with the glass doing the dishes inside there. And Hansford used to watch me, and Gene had kind of snickered at that, being watching me. And there's always room for counseling for Hansford to counsel Dale. And I'd look at Gene and help. And so I had I have many fond memories of being in the kitchen.
Amen.
And being around the group.
Mm-hmm.
And he
Hallelujah.
Was brave enough. You know, they say step out in faith. Well, Gene was brave enough to come over to my house and help me with the computer. And so that gave Steve Diebel a welcome vacation. And Steve is another man in my life that's been a mercenary to try and teach me how to work with and stuff like that. And I love him too.
Amen.
And I'm sorry that I'm sorry, I don't do Facebook, and I wasn't able to see the funeral. I can do Zoom, but not Facebook, and I'd need training on that. So, God is good.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm on, you know, I'm on vacation. God is good. It's a little bad time to go ride the motorbike.
Hallelujah. Oh, my gosh. God bless you, Dale Santarelli. We love you.
Could I jump in here?
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead. Please, Mick.
I want to talk real quickly about what I'll call Gene's transition. So, you know, Gene was a big basketball player, and I played hockey. And Friday mornings, we would come in and work together, and you'd say, hey, did you play last night? Because I played every Thursday night. And I'd say, yeah. And I'd say, and I asked him, did you shoot yesterday? He goes, oh, yeah, we shot. So we would talk about that. And then when Gene had his heart episode, I met him for breakfast right after that, because I had also had heart surgery, and I wanted to lift him up a little bit.
Amen.
And I said, you know, Gene, you can get through this. I was off the ice for 6 months after my surgery and all that kind of stuff, but I got back on the ice. But at the time, Gene was really, really angry that he lost that capability to go shoot the basketball. And we would talk about that almost every Friday morning. You know, he would say, you know, I'm just so, it just bothers me so much. But over time, I began to see Gene become more accepting and more accepting. And, you know, the last year or two, it's like, you know, we didn't talk about hockey or basketball anymore. We just talked about life, and it was
Amen.
So...
Hallelujah.
So good for me to see that Gene had made that transition, dealt with his anger and his shortcoming, and then actually turned around and said, you know what, I'm a step closer. And
Amen.
God bless him, he got
Hallelujah.
Really close. And I just have so many good memories. One other story, he had never seen a hockey glove, so I brought one in and showed it to him. And he picked it up, he put it on, he looked around, he goes, so why do you take these off when you hit somebody?
Oh boy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mick. God bless you. You're a loyal servant. We appreciate it. You know, speaking, Dale, of Hansford's critical eye, I know Gary watches us like a hawk when we're preparing the food. He's starting to let it go a little bit, but I remember in those couple of years ago, he wanted it the way he wanted it, and we appreciate him a lot.
This is a great time for reflection, and I'm just thinking with regard to Gene, but not just Gene. I think he was he was a good model for us, and some of the thoughts crossing my mind is that one, we need to rejoice in the opportunity to. No individuals like Gene, and I'm just thinking that how many other individuals have passed through these seats that we need to, you know, rejoice that we had an opportunity to know them, and the fact that we have had a relationship where, you know, what can these people do to continue to encourage us to be more like them. And I think that's the case for all of us here. We're all striving to be like individuals like Gene. To me, he, a couple things that kind of stood out is he was truly a servant. And, you know, can we... all be that servant, and I would personally hate to go through the struggles that he experienced over these last few years, but I think he's an example that of an individual who has had difficult times and we see that his faith over that period of time probably was grew so much stronger that are we going to be able to do that, be in the same, if we have similar circumstances, are we going to be that faithful in our beliefs and stuff like that? So I guess let's just rejoice with having these experiences.
Praise God. Thank you, Gary. Bob.
Yeah, so this question is for you, Dale. When you invited Gene to come over to your house, of course, I've been to your house, a number of times. So my question to you was, how many motorcycles did you have to move out of the way to get to your computer?
That's furniture. That's not motorcycles. Yeah, please, Stephen. God bless you. Yeah, Dale's got the different idea of furniture than we do. Praise God. Thank you, Steve.
Well, a lot's already said about Gene's character and personality. And first, a lot of things I noticed about him, and I've known him for a long time now, is that the gentleness, kindness, and patience that he had. And he would listen. He's one of those people that would listen to you, and then he would deflect back to you about how you were doing, as we found out during his sickness, that he would never admit that things weren't, that he wasn't that comfortable. And he was, just had this peace about him that you just knew that he was a deep believer in the Lord and at peace with that. And I also had the opportunity of watching him interact with some other people when we were switching the bank account over and everything like that at Elevations. Just watching how his demeanor in dealing with some of the staff members there. And he carried over that gentleness, kindness, and patience, because we ran into some issues and everything. And he would, that was always impressive, because I'm not that patient in a lot of things. So, and also I can be a little overwhelming at times. Gene was not that. And then finally, we had an opportunity toward the end, well, within the last year, to talk about death. And I had, and he knew that I had that close to death experience myself during my heart surgery when, I mentioned during my testimony the of that, the light, the bright light I faced when they were opening my chest the second time and trying to stop bleeding. And I knew it was the Lord. It was a tremendous bright light I was looking at. I was just standing there, and I said to the Lord, I'm willing if it's my time. And I said, Carol will be taken care of. And right then the light went out, and I did come out of surgery, obviously. So I was talking to him about that, and we talked about a scripture I think we all really need to think of. Precious in the Lord's sight is the death of his saints. Think about it. We need to think about that. My whole attitude toward death now is totally different than before that surgery. It's something I don't fear at all. And we need to get to that point as believers, because and that's how he was looking at it, rather than a heart transplant and extending a life maybe he didn't want to have under that type of thing. And that when he was ready to go, he was ready to go. And he knows the Lord's welcoming him. And that's kind of how I felt at that one time. So anyway.
Hallelujah. Praise God. When I come to die, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. Man, I will never forget that testimony on December 1st.
I was sitting here thinking about Gene, and I wasn't going to say anything. But I can't keep quiet. You all have given examples of Gene's life. But I want to talk about something just a little bit different. Last week at our meeting, was kind of an empty meeting. And as I thought about it, Gene's spirit was not here. It had gone on. That impressed me greatly. The kind of life he lived showed what kind of a man he was. But there was something different about it. He carried the Spirit of God with him. And I just want to say I was aware and missed that in our meeting last week. It seemed empty to me, and I know why.
My 85th birthday.
Look at all the praises that happened this morning. Okay. We talked about Gene, but we talked just as much about Gene's God, our God. Okay, and that's where we start. Without God, there's nothing. I can never forget the first time I heard the phrase, all else save hell is mercy. Being with Jesus is going to be forever. And so everything after you're saved is mercy. It was mercy to start with. Father, we give you thanks for this day. It's been a blessing in all our hearts. We thank you that you have given us life, breath, and all things. And help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior and our God. And everybody said, amen.